Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
I got to bring my stand back. Can't do without it. Get it all sorted here. Did you guys enjoy those songs? Yes, let's give them another round of applause. Yeah. All right. They're not finished. There's still one more skit coming. So that'll be after the sermon. So one more big thing for you guys to look forward to. But we do want to focus on our sermon now and what it means that I think I've been tasked to share with you this morning. You guys know that we're going through a series, Behold, the Savior is Born. This is week three of Advent, week three of the series. Last week, Pastor Makala preached about the joy of anticipation and what that means. We saw from Mary's perspective, the shepherd's perspective, and many others, how much joy there is in trusting that God will show up. We learned that we still experience joy in the waiting, in our lives as well, every day now. We can have joy in the waiting. This morning, we're going to talk about something different. We're talking different, but the same. We're going to talk about the servant love of Jesus. We're going to talk about the way he came into the world, the way he lived, and then finally, the way he died. He was a humble servant through it all. Now, let me just ask you a quick question. You guys know that I like to ask questions, and also, how many of you guys like surprises? Your hands up, okay. How many of you guys do not like surprises? All right, there's some people like that, yes. There's lots of things that can happen with surprises. When it's unexpected, it can make us uncomfortable. Unexpected things happen. Surprises can be very unexpected. Sometimes we have a clue that something's going on, so you kind of expect that a little bit. But sometimes when you're caught off guard, things are just unexpected. It can be really hard for us to deal with. Some people love to receive gifts at Christmas that are completely unexpected. Others love to share the idea of what they would hope for and what they would like for. I'm sure there's different types of people in this room, right? For me, I like to just be, surprise me with something. Jessica likes to have specific things. I've tried surprising her, and it doesn't work well for either one of us. So we have conversations about, there's more joy when we share in what she wants and expects, right? But there's nothing wrong with that. Now, how many of you guys are planners in this room? How many of you guys like to plan ahead? Yes? Some? Some unexpected things can be nice, but planning is also nice. We can call an old friend. That's something that you can plan for. And it's always a nice conversation when you're reconnecting with people. And then we contrast that with having a promotion at work. That's unexpected, but it could be something that is positive. Having a good grade when you submit an assignment. I know there's some students in the room, so submitting assignments can be nerve-wracking. And then you kind of expect a good mark, but even though you expect it, you kind of still unexpected when you get a good mark back, right? You're like, oh, that's good. Now, one thing that I think most people in our culture fantasize about, that it's unexpected, is lots of people play the lottery. People always fantasize about winning the lottery and what that would look like. What kind of things you would do if you won the lottery. That thing is that something that everybody can relate to. I think we probably all have thoughts about that. It's like, what would you do if you won the lottery? Amen to that? Everybody's thought about that? I'm sure we all have, right? Now imagine someone going about their daily routine, working hard to make ends meet, and suddenly they get a ticket, they buy a ticket. They're like, well, you know what? There's a big draw, I'm gonna buy a ticket. They don't think much about it, even though we all admit that at some point we thought about, oh, what would happen? What would I do with that, right? And the odds of winning are incredibly slim. However, against all expectations, that individual wins the lottery. And they become overnight millionaires. Winning the lottery is an unexpected life-changing event that can bring immense joy, but also can bring new challenges. It's an excellent illustration of how life can throw surprises at you when you least expect them. Although, when you play in the lottery, you're hoping, right? It's that same thing I said about having Mark. You hope that you win, but it's unexpected. It turns our circumstances upside down and required us to adapt to a really dramatically altered reality. Now, today we begin, the kids did a great job. I'm going back to the scripture. We begin with the Gospel of Luke, where a single event dramatically altered reality. And that was the birth of Jesus. I'm just going to read it over for you again. Luke 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. Before we even get to this part of the story, let's start with the women God chose to bring Jesus into the world, and a quick recap of what Pastor McCullough shared last week. He did not choose a queen. He did not choose the daughter of a rich man. He chose a young girl from a small town. He did not choose a flashy person. He chose humble. Becoming pregnant with the Savior of the world was a very unexpected thing to happen to Mary. It was especially surprising, being that she was a virgin who was committed to marrying Joseph. We'll call this the unexpected arrival. And picking up where this passage starts, Joseph and Mary and her unborn baby must leave home and travel to the big city for the census count. Now, this was a mandatory thing for the entire Roman world. Today, we can simply mail our census in or fill it out online, and then it's done, submitted. It's gone into history. But back then, it had to be done face-to-face. We're discussing events that happened 2,000 years ago. There was no ultrasounds. There was no due dates. They just knew a baby was coming. Even with today's technology and advancement in healthcare, you never really know when a baby is coming, unless you have a scheduled C-section, which is different, right? We can assume that Mary did not plan to have her baby anywhere other than her home, and certainly not in a dusty stable. But God had a different plan. Imagine being far from home, traveling mostly by foot, being extremely pregnant for those who have been pregnant, and not having a place to stay for the night. The city was filled with all the travelers that had come to report for the census, and there was literally no room to stay. Even at this small inn, there was no vacancy for a young family to occupy. Hard to imagine, but there was physically no space for them. No bed, no room, nothing available for them. They were out of options. I can only imagine the conversation between them. If it goes anything like conversations with Jessica and I, it's like, well, what are we going to do? Well, I don't know. You tell me. No, you tell me. How do we figure this out? Like, what, you know? Just imagine the conversation when there is no room. Over and over, they were told there's no room for you. Mary and Joseph were given a stable. Mary gives birth to Jesus, and as scripture says, she wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Jesus came into the world in a lowly and humble way. This was all intentional. Make no mistake, this was intentional. Jesus was not born to wealthy parents in a palace like many kings before him. We witness the most unexpected arrival of the Savior of the world. God planned this. God connects with humanity in a very vulnerable way. By being born this way, he was where he was. Jesus immediately identifies with the marginalized and ordinary people of the world. It is Christmas when we are reminded that God's love is not reserved for the elite or for the rich, but it's accessible to all people. Jesus arrived in an unexpected way, which set the precedent for his entire life. Now, let's look at who Jesus became and who he was during his time on earth. The humble nature that he came into this world with is a defining piece of who he is throughout his life. Now, Paul writes about this to the early church in Philippi in Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is the word of the Lord. Paul gives his listeners an expectation that we ought to live in relations with one another, and Jesus is the example which we are to follow. We are to share his mindset of humility and service. Imagine for a second, and just take a second. If you want to close your eyes, you can do that and just listen. But imagine for a second. Imagine a world-renowned artist known for creating magnificent masterpieces that hang on the walls of prestigious museums and galleries worldwide. His works were celebrated for their grandeur and complexity, capturing the attention and admiration of all who viewed them. Yet, one day, this artist decided to embark on a different kind of project. Instead of creating another majestic painting that would demand attention, he chose to create a humble and ordinary piece of art. He wanted to challenge himself to portray the depth of human emotion and experience through simplicity. As he worked on this project, the artist made a surprising decision. He decided to leave his comfortable studio behind and immerse himself in the life of the common people. He lived in their neighborhoods, shared their daily struggles, and embraced their joys and sorrows. He wanted to fully understand the essence of their humanity, to see the world through their eyes. After months of living among them, the artist returned to his studio with a newfound perspective. He carefully put his perspective onto a canvas, creating a piece of art that was unlike anything he had ever done before. It was a simple, unadorned prediction or depiction of everyday life. A mother's love, a child's laughter, a worker's toil, and a friend's embrace. When the artist unveiled this unexpected creation, the world was astounded. Critics and admirers alike were moved by the depth of emotion and the resonance of the piece. It touched their hearts in a way that none of his grand masterpieces had ever done before. The artist explained, "In this simple painting, I aim to capture the very essence of our shared humanity, the beauty of everyday life, the emotions that connect us all, and the significance of the ordinary moments we often overlook." In a profound way, this artist's journey mirrors that of Jesus, Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Just as the artist chose to step into the lives of everyday people to understand their humanity, Jesus, the creator of all things, chose to step into our world through the incarnation as a humble human being. He left the splendor of heaven to fully experience our joys, struggles, and sorrows. through his humanity, Jesus created a masterpiece of redemption. The passage begins with a call for us to have the same mindset that was in Christ Jesus. But what mindset is that? It's a mind of humility, of selflessness, and of service. In the mind that Jesus is calling us to leave, he led. He willingly set aside himself for divine glory. But he did that by taking on human form. We talked earlier about Jesus, the creator of the universe, stepping down from heaven and entering our world as a vulnerable baby. We have seen here behind us. He didn't choose a regal entrance. He wasn't born into a palace or the splendor of what that means. But rather, his first cries filled the air in the humblest of settings, a small stable. He experienced the limitations of fragility of humanity from the moment he was born until his death. He felt the warmth of a mother's love and the comfort of a father's protection. He experienced hunger, thirst, fatigue, and the full spectrum of human emotions. He was not just partly human, he was completely human, and pain was not omitted from his experience on earth. Jesus is often referred to as a humble servant for his leadership and the way he loved people. It is consistent with his birth. He met people where they were. Now, as we look at Philippians, like I said, we encounter the journey of Jesus' life. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is where the humanity of Jesus demonstrates his sacrificial love. It was through his humanity that he accomplished the most profound act of love and redemption by dying on the cross on our behalf. By taking on our human nature, Jesus bridged the gap between humanity and divinity, reconciling us to God and bringing us nearer to him. The humanity of Jesus is not just a historical fact, but a living reality that continues to shape our faith and our relationship with God. It means that we have a Savior who intimately understands our struggles and temptations. He knows what it's like to face adversity. He knows what it's like to face rejection. He knows what it's like to experience suffering. Even though he never sinned and lived a perfect life, he was not without temptation and trials. Jesus became human to relate to us, his people, with an intimacy that could not be accomplished otherwise. This means that we can approach him with confidence, knowing that we have a compassionate and empathetic Savior who sympathizes with our weaknesses, with our journey, and our hardships. In our moments of doubt, pain, or despair, we can turn to him, knowing that he not only hears our prayers, he understands the depths of our hearts. As we navigate the complexities of our own human existence, may we find peace in the fact that we're not alone. We have a Savior who walked this path before us, and he continues to walk it with us every day. When we share in his humble nature, we too can become a representative of God by the way we love and serve those around us. So as we reflect on the humanity of Jesus in Philippians 2, 5-11, let's remember that our Savior, like the humble artist, stepped into a world to fully understand and embrace our humanity. He did so out of love. He did so out of profound love, creating a masterpiece of redemption that touches our hearts in the most unexpected and beautiful ways. Looking at this morning's passage, think about the similarities that we see between them. We have talked about the unexpected arrival of Jesus to his humble parents in a manger. We have also looked at his humanity as dissected what that truly means to us. but is truly meant for God to take on human flesh. Now we're going to look at the end of Jesus' life and notice some of the parallels between the cross and the manger. Talking about the ultimate sacrifice. And you might find this weird or odd or interesting, I'm not sure. But I just thought I'd share that there's similarities between the birth and the death. Have you ever thought about that before? There's a deep connection between Jesus' birth and the way that he died. Have you thought about the comparisons? Have you ever thought about comparing the two? Maybe not. I'm going to invite you to do that with me today. By God's grace, when many make it to the end of their life, it is beautifully heartbreaking in the way that it reflects the beginning. The way God writes these stories is clear and specific. He intentionally chose and designed life to happen this way. And this is the same story of Jesus. The beginning of his story is just as important as the end, and the end just as important as the in-between. Now let's look at some of the ways that the birth and death of Jesus intersect. First is that he was rejected of men. Now I have scripture. I don't know if people like that or not. If you want to have the scripture there, you can ask me afterwards. But it's Luke 2:7 and Mark 15:15. He was cast outside before his birth. That led him to be born in a manger. At the cross, he was rejected and hung between criminals outside the city. Now, another key detail is that Mary was present at both. She was a bookend person to Jesus' life. She was there at his birth, and she was there at his death. If you keep looking at the two things, there are so many things that overlap. For example, one of the gifts, myrrh. Mary was present at his birth and was present at his death. At both events, there was darkness. At both events, his body was wrapped in clothing. At both, a Herod becomes involved. At both, there was worship through the first, although the first was genuine and the second was mocking. At both, wise men recognize his deity. At both, there is Jews and Gentiles present. At both, he was hailed king. At both, an honorable man, a man named Joseph, was present. At both, we find the chief priests and scribes involved. Both Jesus' death and his birth were full of humility and vulnerability. His birth was surrounded by animals in a lowly barn, surrounded by shepherds. At his death, we witnessed Jesus hanging on a cross, crucified and punished alongside common criminals. Neither one of those experiences exclaim mighty or grand. This parallel teaches us that Jesus' mission was not one of earthly glory and power, but of sacrificial love and redemption. His birth and death bookend a life characterized by humility and selflessness. We can look at the manger in Bethlehem and see that it was the ultimate foreshadowing of Jesus' death. Jesus first signaled the very start of the journey towards selflessness and sacrifice for humanity's sake. He was born to die. He came to earth to offer himself as a perfect Lamb of God who took away the sins of all. On the cross, Jesus fulfilled his promise with unparalleled love and devotion. He endured excruciating physical and spiritual pain, willingly surrendering his life to atone for our sins. Just as the birth of Jesus was a gift to the world, his death was the ultimate gift of redemption. Jesus was a servant, born in the humblest of ways. He was the King of Kings and chose to come down to earth to live the perfect life so that we, his people, could be close to the Father. Without his death and resurrection, we would still be dead in our sin and have no hope in eternity with God in heaven. I've recently read a quote. I thought it was a beautiful quote. And it went like this. Christ was content with a stable when he was born so that we could have a mansion when we die. Isn't that something? Christ was content with a stable when he was born so that we could have a mansion when we die. In closing, when we reflect on the birth and death of Jesus, we see the amazing ways that his life was completely divine, how it's all connected. From the unexpected arrival in the humble manger to the ultimate sacrifice on the cross, Jesus' journey on earth illustrates his life as one of a humble servant. The birth of Jesus in the lowly stable was a deliberate act. It was intentional. It was an act of humility, setting the tone for his entire mission. He identified with the marginalized and the ordinary, teaching us that God's love is accessible to all, regardless of our station of life. Jesus' humanity is articulated in Philippians. He shows humility and selflessness. He willingly sets aside his divine glory to take on the form of a servant, experiencing our joys, struggles, and sorrows firsthand. His complete understanding of our brokenness allows us to approach him with confidence, knowing that he not only hears our prayers, but empathizes with our weaknesses. Now, the parallels between Jesus' birth and his death are interesting and striking. Both the birth and death of Jesus were marked by humility and vulnerability. His birth in a manger and his crucifixion on a cross were profound demonstrations of God's intentional choice to connect with humanity in our most vulnerable state. His mission was not about earthly grandeur or glory, but about sacrificial love. As we contemplate these parallels, may we be reminded of the depth of God's love and his divine plan. Jesus' birth and death were not isolated events, but internal parts or integral parts of the same redemption story. Let us live in the awareness of the profound connection between the manger and the cross, embracing the humility, the vulnerability, and the sacrificial love of our Savior. Just as the world was forever changed by his birth and then his death on the cross, although his death on the cross still continues to transform our lives and offers us hope of eternal salvation. How can we humble ourselves this week and share the love of Christ with others? Where can we set aside our pride and our position in order to serve others as Christ served? How can we demonstrate humility in this season? I do draw similarities between his birth and his death, but we are celebrating his birth. How best can we do that? How can we best humble ourselves to share the good news with those around us? Talked about the joy of anticipation last week. Let's continue to anticipate his birth. It's almost here. It's only a few days, right? Is it days? Yes, 10 days, 11 days, depending on what your traditions might be. But let's anticipate with joy. Let's find joy in the unexpected. He has given us an example of sacrificial love and what that means. I challenge you to find ways to share your joy and love with others around you. Whether that be providing a meal for somebody, giving somebody a call to encourage them, anything that might come to your mind. And Pastor Makala had challenges for all last week where she asked you guys to spend some time praying and hearing God. And, you know, what was God directing you to do? And the challenge is still the same. Pray. Listen to him. Ask him, how can I show your sacrificial love to those around me? Something as simple as an act of kindness can be it. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your love. Thank you that you came to earth. Thank you that you died on the cross for us. Help us to remember and be more humble. We have your example to look at. But life is not easy. There's always many distractions. So we pray that you would help us be more humble, be more serving of others, and help us share your word with others as we go. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.